Okay, so we've been talking about candlelighting. This will actually be the last in the series of candlelighting, as sad as I'm sure that will make all of us. We're going to be moving on, please God, to the Melachos of Shabbos. Hoping we'll start with Zoreya next week. Just the first Melacha. It's actually Machlokas exactly how to order them. But we'll start with Zoreya and we'll move on doing practical applications of the Melachos, learning about them as they come up. And we'll try and cover the Melachos, which probably we don't get the option to learn as, the course of other studies which we might have. Bishul and Borer, we might save for another time, or we'll see. Well, we can take a vote on that at some point. But we'll be starting with Zoreya. Okay, what I want to talk about today is lighting candles and how that makes one accept Shabbos. Does that make one accept Shabbos? And making a Tanai, candle lighting, when can that be done? How does that work? What's the story behind it? So the whole story begins with the Bahag. The Bahag is the Sefer Halachos Gedolos, so it's Baal Halachos Gedolos, Beis Hei Gimel. It's written in the 1800s or so by one of the Gaonim. There's a whole machlokas exactly who wrote the Sefer, whether it's Rav Yehudai Gaon or whether it's Rav Shimon Kayara. But he is quoted all the time by Tosfos, let's say. And there's a recurring theme that Tosfos, let's say, will, and others, will disagree with what he has to say. But because he was such an important figure in the 800s, so we'll try and be machmir for his opinion no matter what. So we have a lot of chumras which we have from the Bahag, which everyone else is like, I'm not really sure this is right, but if the Bahag said it, so we should try and be machmir, like skipping a day of Sfira, that's a whole Bahag thing, that ruins everything, and women's Megillah reading, I think, is a Bahag thing, so we'll hold off on that. But the Bahag says as follows with regards to lighting candles on Shabbos. He's asking the question, let's say it's Shabbos Chanukah, which we'll have in a month or so. If it's Shabbos Chanukah, so which candles do I light first? That's the question which the Bahag is dealing with now. The starting point for any question of how you would do, what would you do if you have two mitzvos in front of you, one, and you want to know which one should I do first, regularly we have a klal of tadir v'she'eno tadir tadir kodem. Whichever one is the more common mitzvah, so that's the one which you'll do first, then you do the other one later, which is exactly what the Ramban says. If you look in the source 2 over here, midamina d'ner chanaka v'ner beso, I'm jumping to 2 over here, v'ner beso, ner beso adif, mishum shalom beso, okay, kasav Ramban sal, mashmali da'af ha'akdim makdimin. You should also light, do ner beso before you do ner chanaka, ner beso l'shel chanaka, shekoa tadir v'yam mishubach mechavero kodem lechavero, because you'd expect that whenever you have something which is tadir, something more common, v'amashubach, that's an interesting idea, something which is more praiseworthy than its friends, so you should do that first. So the Ramban says you should light Shabbos candles before you light Chanukah candles next month. Comes along the Bahag, though. Source one over here. V'heicha devaya adluki ner Chanukah v'ner Shabbos. So he writes in Aramaic, which makes it a little bit of a harder text to read, but when you need to go and light ner Shabbos and ner Chanukah, ner Shabbos, v'reisha madlik de Chanukah, the Hadar Madlik de Shabbos says the Bahag, you have to first light your Chanukah candles before you light your Shabbos candles on Friday. The Adlik de Shabbos Bereisha, if you're going to go ahead and light your Shabbos candles first, Itzar Leila Adluki de Chanukah, it's going to become usur for you to then light your Chanukah candles, Mishum de Kabla le Shabbos Aleh, because you have accepted Shabbos upon yourself by lighting. So that's the Bahag, that's his big, you know, bombshell chiddush over here, that when you light, he just says it as a davar pashut, doesn't explain himself, just says, you light, it's Shabbos for you, so you won't be able to light Chanukah candles, therefore, light Chanukah candles before you light your Shabbos candles. Now, the Rishonim debate, what exactly, like, where did he get this from? More fundamentally, was he talking about lighting? It sounds like he's saying when you light, so that's what makes you accept Shabbos. Or is he talking about the bracha which you make on Ner Shabbos. So if you look at the Ramban, we'll go through it, I think, in a moment, but the Ramban, the Rashba, many Rishonim understand that it's the lighting itself which the Bahag thought makes it Shabbos for you. The moment I light the candles, I finish lighting my last candle, boom, just like that, now it's Shabbos for you. If you look at the source 2, the Ran, we'll get back to the Ramban in a moment, but the Ran over here is quoting a whole machlokas. He quotes the Ramban, he quotes the Bahag, he quotes why the Ramban doesn't like the Bahag, and then at the very end, let's say 4 lines from the bottom, he says at the bold, "V'einon nirin li." I don't like what the Ramban said. The Ramban didn't like the Bahag. Rather, I like the Bahag. Elavadai haynu taimu mishum derabanan hachi takun. This was the takana of Chazal. Shetehad laka melacha achrona. Why is are you accepting Shabbos upon yourself? Because Chazal were misaking that this would be the last melacha which you do before Shabbos starts. Shelo yaseh hareha melacha klal. They did not want you doing anything else after this melacha of lighting Shabbos candles. This is a malacha of, it's a mitzvah to go and light Litzorach Shabbos, and therefore they decided to make this, establish this as the last possible malacha you could possibly do before Shabbos. So they instituted, says the Ran, that the moment you lit the light, the last candle, boom, it's Shabbos for you. So that's the opinion of the Ran. If you look at the opinion, if you look in the Sefer Hayashar, we've mentioned it before, Rabbeinu Tam's Tshuva Sefer. So I think we mentioned this either the first or the second year, but he had a whole back and forth with a Rabbeinu Meshulam. Rabbeinu Meshulam thought you should not make any bracha when you light Shabbos candles, which obviously we don't do. And in Rabbeinu Tam's attack of Rabbeinu Meshulam, he does not write, you know, in nice, cheerful lashonos. He has some very, very scathing rebuke of him. He mentions Derech Agav. Here's another proof that you should say a bracha. He says proof after proof after proof that you should say a bracha. He says ve'od raya lebracha. I'll tell you that you should definitely be making a bracha. Shekein kaso be'alachos gedolos, and then the nine should not be there. But hamadlik ner Chanukah v'ner Shabbos tchila madlik ner Chanukah. That whenever you have ner Chanukah ner Shabbos, you should first light the Chanukah candles. Di adlik Shabbos bereisha itzarle, because the moment you light Shabbos candles, you have made it usher for you to light other candles. Michlal shehu mevarich, says Rabbeinu Tam, what does that tell you? It must be you're making a bracha when you light Shabbos candles. Why are you making a bracha? Shim ein bracha kabbalah minayim. If I'm not making a bracha, so what exactly was the kabbalah Shabbos? And Rabbeinu Tam says that lighting candles can't be a kabbalah Shabbos. What's kabbalah Shabbos about lighting it? It must be the bracha itself is a kabbalah. And the way that the Farshim explains that Rabbeinu Tam thought that when you say, what do you say? You take your candle and you say, Lahadlik ner shel Shabbos. So you're saying, I am lighting the Shabbos candle. So you're saying, this is Shabbos. Meaning, it's true, it's a preparatory act for Shabbos, but you are demonstrating that this is for Shabbos, and by saying it's shel Shabbos, so now you've made it, you've basically established it as Shabbos. You can't say this is for Shabbos and then continue your Friday Erev Shabbos preparations. Yeah. Good, good. So this is the Bahag, meaning we'll have to get to whether or not we paskin like this Bahag. But right, the Bahag makes no distinction between men and women. We'll have to see where that comes from. But according to this, there'd be no distinction between men and women at any point. You're correct that lehalacha we're going to make a distinction. But where that comes from is not from any of these earlier sources over here. So this is all about the Bahag. The Bahag has two explanations. Is it really because the lighting itself that's Mekabel Shabbos? Is it the bracha? If you look at the Ramban is not the only one. The vast majority of Rishonim disagree with the Bahag. So I'll just, we'll go through one of them over here. The Ran quotes the Ramban in source 2, starting with the underline in the first line. So, Kasav Ramban, Zal Mashmali Da'af La'Akdim Makdim, we read all that, excuse me, the third line of all, Ra'isi Labal Halachus Gedolos Sha'omer, Ve'echa De'kabayad Luki Ne'chanaka V'ner Shabbos, Bereisha Madlik De'chanaka, Ve'hadr Madlik Shal Shabbos, Di'adlik De'Shabbos Bereisha Itzele Ad Luki De'chanaka, Mishim Kibli De'Shabbos Aleh, sorry, we've read all this. Ve'kama Hu Dachuk Ze'atam. So the Ramban quotes the Bahag, and he says, that is incredibly dachuk. That is incredibly difficult to understand, that now I've accepted Shabbos just because I lit my Shabbos candles. So I lit my Shabbos candles, my candles for Shabbos. Why does that make it Shabbos for me, says the Ramban. That has nothing to do with anything. The reason I'm lighting it now is so that I don't have issues later on. The whole reason you're lighting it now is because you're saying it's not Shabbos. I'm lighting my candle now because I know right now it's not Shabbos. I can't light my candles on Shabbos. So I light it before Shabbos. The Ramban says this is the greatest demonstration that right now it's not Shabbos is the fact that you're lighting a candle. So why would that make sense that now you are saying that it is Shabbos? V'chi gamar hadlaka kone shvisa. Could it be that when you light a candle, so that's going to make it Shabbos? He says that doesn't make any sense. And again, we saw why maybe someone would disagree with that, but the Ramban, the Rambam, the Rashba, the vast majority of Rishonim do not accept the Bahag. So you look in the Shulchan Aruch, how are we supposed to paskin on this machlokas? So like I said, the Bahag often, even when he's in the minority, somehow we end up accepting his opinion, at least to be machmir for him. So we get this very interesting Shulchan Aruch. If you look in source 4, he says, L'bal ha'alachos gedolos, kevan shehidlik ner shel Shabbos, cha'alav Shabbos, v'nesar b'melacha. According to the Bahag, the moment you light candles, so it becomes Shabbos for you, and you can't do any melacha. Dal pizen noagos k'tzas nashim. So now already you see the first time that the Shulchan Aruch mentions only women. Because of this, some women have the practice, she'achar shebirchu v'hidliku, that after they make the bracha and they light the candles, v'hidliku aneros, mashlichos la'aretz ha'psila shebiyadon, Shidliku ba. The ein mechabos osa. What do? They take the match, which they just lit the candles with, and instead of blowing it out, so they let it fall. Anyone else? Does anyone do this? Like, do you make sure not to? Oh, you do this.
So I
asked my wife. She said she's.
And then I was sitting next to Mittal, and she grabbed the match from my hand.
That is a very good reason not to do that. Yeah.
But I asked the people, like, I supposed to truly go in? She was like, no, it's not Shabbos. That's why you can blow it out.
Yeah.
And
then,
okay,
never.
Yeah.
So it's a. What? Right, so on Yom Tov, we're going to get to Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to light a candle, but you're not allowed to extinguish a candle, so you're not allowed to blow it out on Yom Tov. But on Shabbos, the Shulchan Aruch already quotes this idea that you're going to light the candle, and because he's worried, and again, we have two explanations of the Bahag, maybe you're accepting Shabbos with the candle lighting itself, or maybe you're accepting it with the bracha. So if you're accepting the Shabbos with the candle lighting itself, so it's Shabbos for you the moment you light the last candle, and so you can't blow anything out. You have to drop the match. So the Shulchan Aruch says, because of this concern, some women will be careful not to ever blow out the match. I don't think that's the common practice, but I guess some people have this practice. I don't know, anyone else does that? Everyone else blows out the candle, or everyone else?
A lot of the days of lighter.
Ah, the lighter. That's a smart move. We got to start that.
But the second that I let go of it.
Right, that happens automatically. Right. Right, so
you that. Just, like, let it drop from your hands after you light.
Right, so clearly you have to be able to do something, or it would be impossible to light Shabbos candles if you couldn't, you know, drop the candle the match afterwards. You know, how else would you do it? So, I don't know enough about, you know, muktzah when you were started Shabbos holding muktzah. I once had that shiloh where I don't remember if I'd said that in this context before, but I once accepted Shabbos upon myself, and then I was about to run to mincha, and my wife said to me, Yoni, you know, you're wearing AirPods right now. So I had to go figure out exactly what to do with that, but it ended up being Rav Leibowitz gave a whole shiur on that topic because I told him about it. But fun topic, not for now. But there is certainly a sugya about muktzah when you start Shabbos that way. You're supposed to go and shake it off. You're supposed to minimize your caring. Okay, good question. Not for now. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes this idea from the Bahag, and he says, therefore some women specifically do not blow out the match, but they just kind of drop it. Ve'yesh cholkin al ba'al halachos gedolos, but some people disagree. Ve'omrim she'en kabal Shabbos tali bihadlakas haner. This is the majority opinion, that accepting Shabbos has nothing to do with lighting candles. Ela b'tfilas arvis, but it's just about the tefillah when you daven marv, so that will accept Shabbos upon yourself. Rav Avadya has all of these klalim, he has all these rules about the language of Shulchan Aruch. So Rav Avadya, one of his big, you know, missions was to go and bring back all Sfardim to the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. They were following some Ashkenazi practices, they were following Kabbalistic practices, not the Shulchan Aruch. So he lays down all of these kolim for how to know how to paskin in Shulchan Aruch. He argues that anytime you have the Shulchan Aruch first say there's a single person who says X, but yesh omrim, but there's a multitude of people who say Y, that you'll always paskin Y like the multitude. So, like the multiple people. So, he argues over here, says Rav Avadya, that since you start off with Labal Halachos Gedolos X, but V'yesh Cholkim, that you don't have to worry about it. That tells you Maran Shulchan Aruch, so he is not worried about the Bahag, and he told all Sephardi women, don't worry about it, even though some Sephardim were being careful about the Baal Halachos Gedolos. The Rav Avadya basically told everyone, stop worrying about it, and you can light, you can make a bracha, and then you can go and drive your car, you can do whatever you want. Rav Avadya says the Shulchan Aruch, right, the Sephardi Posek, says it's not a problem. However, you look in the Rama says over here, V'yamin hag, after the Haggah and the bold, V'yaminag she'osa isha hamadlekes mikabela Shabbos bedlaka. Now, our minhag is that, at least, again, a woman, I don't know exactly why it makes sense this has anything to do with woman over man. In all of the earlier sources, it's really just about lighting, but I guess women are the ones who generally light Shabbos candles, so this ended up becoming a chumrah for them, maybe because even when a man lights, he still has to go run to minyan afterwards, so it's not possible for him to accept Shabbos when he lights. For some reason, the minhag became that only women accept Shabbos upon themselves when they light candles in Ashkenazi communities. And then we'll get to exceptions to that closer to the end of the shir. So, ends up being, right, again, we have these two possible explanations for when we accept Shabbos. Either the lighting itself because it's the last malacha which you're trying to do, or the bracha because you're saying it's l'hadlik ner shel Shabbos. I think the common practice is that l'hadlik ner shel Shabbos, after you say the bracha, that's when you accept Shabbos upon yourself. So we already mentioned one potential nafkamina about, you know, letting the candlestick or whatever, the match drop. I think maybe some people, if they don't have, you know, daughters who are going to go grab the match, that's something which people do. Otherwise, I think the majority of people, at least who I've interviewed, say that that's not the case. In contrast, here's important nafkamina. So because women accept the Ramah, so I think we all know this, but therefore women make the bracha after they light Shabbos candles. Right? Regularly, anytime you have a bracha, there's maybe two or three exceptions to this, anytime you have a bracha on a mitzvah before you shake a lulav, you have a rule of over las yasam. We try and do the bracha before you, do the mitzvah. But over here, because of the fact if you were to make the bracha, and the bracha were to make it Shabbos upon yourself, so if you were to go and make the brachos, that would be really a problem, because then you couldn't light Shabbos candles. So we light the Shabbos candles first, and then we make the bracha. If men light, or any time a woman's going to be lighting Al Tanai, and she's not going to be accepting Shabbos upon herself, it would seem that the correct thing to do is to make the bracha first, because you're not accepting Shabbos upon yourself when you light, and the right thing to do is to go and make the brachos beforehand. What are just thinking out loud, what are the other exceptions to this rule? Gerus, right? The Gemara, I think, in Psachim says, Gerus, someone who's not yet Jewish, can't make a bracha of ala tefillah because they're not yet, I guess, doing a mitzvah. I'm not sure exactly. Because they can't say Asher Gisham Savit Sivanu or anything. They're not yet Jewish. The other one is actually Netilas Yadayim, right? So we all do this. People think that the bracha is like on the drying or something because we do the drying afterwards. The bracha is really on washing your hands. So certain people, actually, my Rebbe Rav Schechter, will say the bracha beforehand because the real halacha seems to be you should say the brachos before you wash your hands. Somehow we developed a minhag not to go and wash your hands until after, not to say the bracha until after you wash your hands. So Tosfos says, because all of our hands are so dirty. They're so dirty that you can't make a bracha. You have to make sure that they're clean before you make a bracha. So Mishnah Berurah already says, you know, we shouldn't make fun of people who want to make the bracha beforehand because our hands don't seem to be so dirty nowadays. So Rav Schechter, certainly a minority view over here, but I'll quote him anyways, says that maybe you should even make the bracha beforehand. So what do we do? So what we do with washing our hands is we tell you, wash your hands, make a bracha, and don't dry them yet. Because if you were to dry them, so that's going to, drying is like part of the whole washing experience, and so you're still kind of over las yasan as long as you haven't yet dried your hands. So we see something similar by Neros Shabbos as well. So if you look in the source 5 over here, Yesh Misha Omer Shemivarchim Kodem HaHadlaka, Yesh Misha Omer Shemivarch Achar HaHadlaka, it's machlokas whether to make the bracha before or after one lights. So how do you make sure that you're still doing as much over las yasan as possible if you're going to be making the bracha afterwards? So try not to get any hana'a from the lights. Try not to benefit from the lights until after you've already said the bracha. Meaning I'd light the candles, and then I would try not to benefit from the light, which is right in front of me, say the bracha, and then that way you've said the bracha before you actually benefit, and then you benefit right afterwards. And the bracha is kind of the same thing like drying your hands by washing your hands. That's the idea over there. Umisimin hayad, I want to know if anyone does this over here, says the Shulchan Aruch. Umisimin hayad lifnei haner achar hahadlaka umivarchin. What you do is you put your hand in front of the candle after you light it, and then you make a bracha. Anyone do this? You, I guess, light with one hand and you... Right, well, people do... Anyone also, I see some of this. How's it work? For those on the recording, the this is the hand motion bringing in like Shabbos over here. So in the Shulchan Aruch it says you should cover the candle. Now why don't we cover the candle? It's a good question. Let's just finish with the. So then you light, you make the bracha, then you remove your hand, and that way you're benefiting from the candles only after you make the bracha. So based on that, what seems to have developed, again, this is a little bit of guesswork over here, but probably because we have so many candles now, again, in the times of the Shulchan Aruch, we saw before everyone was only lighting two, the minhag has developed that people light not necessarily just two, but could be many more. It's hard to cover, you know, all the candles with one hand, so much smarter idea, just cover your eyes. So that might be what's going on. There's also a question about this whole, the waving business. Anyone ever hear any explanation for the waving business? Wait, what's that about it? Shani's got an explanation. No. What? No, just not an explanation you're willing to share. But Fine, it's made up. It might be made up. Alternatively, the two explanations I saw were, one, you're trying to block all the candles. Like, this is actually trying to do the original minhag of blocking the candles. So you, it started off as like a force field waving kind of thing, and then became like a this. I'm not sure. Alternatively, maybe this makes seems to be better with the motion, which I've seen, is that you're actually making a declaration, I'm accepting Shabbos. Like, this is me bringing in Shabbos towards myself. Okay, those are what you two, you could have either of those in mind when you do your cool waving motion. But if you hear anything else, I'd love to hear it.
But there's also something like you do it three times.
You do it three times. So that I haven't seen an explanation for.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard it, I just don't remember. I'll try and find it out.
Okay, no, I trust that there's a reason. I'm just not sure what exactly the reason is. Okay.
If it's not in your language, I know we'll get to.
Yes. Right, so the waving thing probably, if the reason is for the second reason, you're saying I'm accepting Shabbos, so there's really no reason to for both reasons, right? Either the reason is you don't want to get Hanan until you say the bracha. Well, if you're saying the bracha beforehand, so anyways, it's not a problem. It's over Lasiyasin anyways, and you're trying to say I'm not accepting Shabbos with the Tanai.
Well, that's the same thing as Yantif.
Right, so it's Yantif. Well, on Yantif, do we do the waving motion?
I don't know.
No, okay, so that's good.
Well,
Yantif, it's already Yantif, so that makes a lot of sense. Good, good, good. So let's jump into Yantif, actually. I want to talk about Yantif. So, yeah. If you're lighting with the Tanai that you're not accepting Shabbos, so the two reasons for doing the waving motion, which I'm aware of, there might be others, but the two are either because you're trying to cover the candles because you want there to be no Hana until after you make the bracha, but in the case of a Tanai, you're actually making the bracha right before you light, which is the right time to make the bracha, meaning... When you make a Tanai, I believe you make the bracha first. Yeah, when you make a Tanai, or it might just be, it's confusing, so...
I was going to say, is there a concern that people would forget and then after that?
That could be. So I'll tell you, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was asked, sometimes I make a Tanai, sometimes I don't. So when a woman would make a Tanai, in theory, she should be making the bracha first, because that's the ideal time to make the bracha. And so he was once asked, sometimes I make the Tanai, so I make the bracha first, and then this time I wasn't making a Tanai, and I still made the bracha first, so can I light my candles after I made the bracha? Because this time... I wasn't trying to make a Tanai. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said, if you ever make the bracha beforehand, you can still light, because there's no way that you meant to accept Shabbos with the bracha, which is then going to stop you from lighting those very candles. However, he says, if let's say you lit one candle, I don't know why you would do this, but if you lit one candle out of your two or five, whatever it is, and then you make the bracha, so then you have to stop, because it does make sense that if you lit a candle, maybe that was sufficient to, that would fulfill your mitzvah, and so then maybe the bracha would accept Shabbos upon yourself. But yeah, in an ideal world, if you're able to keep your head straight, when you're making a Tanai, you would make the bracha before you actually light candles. Okay, so I want to talk about, I think it's just a fascinating source, about Yantif. When do you make the bracha on Yantif? So we all just said, you make the bracha, again, instead of afterwards, you make the bracha beforehand. That is not at all simple, at least it is now, but it wasn't originally. So why wasn't it simple? So there's a statement in the Hakdama to the Sefer, the Drisha and Prisha. The Drisha and Prisha was written by Rav Yehoshua Falk. I Wikipedia'd him. I always thought Falk was his last name, but they didn't have last names back then. So it was like their German name and their English, their Hebrew name. But Falk was not actually his last name. It was his second name. Anyway, his wife, her name was Mrs. Bila, Rebbetzin Bila Falk. It's not really a last name. But her son, the Drisha was written by this Rav Falk, his son writes the Hakdama to the Sefer, and he talks all about how incredible his mother was in the introduction. Very interesting. And what he says is that my mother was Mechadesh, a very, very important halacha, which no one else was doing. And she thought about this, and she came to the following conclusion. A very fascinating piece over here. He says, Hibitu na re'u. This is the son of the Drisha talking in the introduction. At Mashir Gisha Bitaus Hanashim Biadlaka San Haneris Biyomtov. At what my mother figured out all of the women were doing incorrectly on Yontif. Bitausan Bishtaim. They made two mistakes. We're only going to be talking about one in this year. Ha'echad Mashinagos Lahadlik Neros Shel Yomtif Kamo Shel Shabbos. What they would do is they would light their Yontif Neros the same way that they'd light their Shabbos candles. Dahainu Shemadlikin Tchila Haneros. They would first light the candles. Be'achakach Mesimin Yadehen Lifnei Haneros. And then they would put their hands there, like we said in the Shulchan Aruch. Umivarchin HaBracha Al Haneros. And then they would make the bracha. They would make the bracha at the end afterwards. Be'achakach Mesalkin Yadehen. This is, by the way, written around the 1500s. So we're going back, a little less than 500 years. Be'achakach Mesalkin Yadehen. Hakol Kimoneros Shel Shabbos. Uminagzet maybe Rama be Shulchan Aruch be Archaim Simon Rishemach Gimel Siv. Hey, right? We saw the Rama said this with respect to Shabbos. So he says the problem was, and my mother pointed this out. Hatenach beadlaka saneros the Shabbos. Sheachar bracha aser shuv beadlaka. That on Shabbos that makes a lot of sense because after the bracha, if you're accepting Shabbos, you can't light anymore. Aval be yom tov shemutter lahadli kaneros be yom tov atzma. But on Yantif, I'm allowed to light, even if I'm making it Yantif for myself. So what's the problem? Mutav shenase birkas haneros kitikuna. What you should do is you should make the bracha properly. Lios habracha over lasiyasan, so that you do the bracha over lasiyasan like the regular rule is. Ulahadli kaneros shel yom tov. And then you'll make the bracha. Everything will be wonderful.
Now I have another question.
Yes. That's a good point. So I guess he's assuming you could still transfer a match. But you're right. If you made the bracha before Yantif and then struck a match, you'd have a problem. But you could still make the bracha and then, you know, take a match from whatever. Probably in the 1500s, they had fires all over the place. So the quickest way to make a fire isn't to go and strike a match. But if you want to see in your home, you have candles everywhere. And so the quickest way is just to stick it inside of another fire, which you're allowed to do on Yom Tov. It's complicated because the second issue, which I didn't mention over here, is when do you light on Yantif? The second thing she thinks everyone's doing wrong is about when you light on Yantif. Should you be lighting before Yantif or should you be lighting once Yantif already starts? So that's going to be for another shir. But he's assuming that we're talking about before Yantif, and the concern is you're going to accept Yantif upon yourself. But okay, if you accept Yantif upon yourself, you can still strike a match and not strike a match. You can still pass a fire onto a match and then light the candles that way. I'm getting like some confused faces, which means I probably missaid something. We're good? Okay. So this is the Prisha's wife, Rebbetzin Bila. Happens to be, I'll get there in a moment, but the Magen Avraham disagrees. Magen Avraham, I didn't put on the source sheet, but the Magen Avraham says, no, it's a low plug. What's a low plug? They make the rule once, the rule applies even when it doesn't seem to be relevant. So they made a rule that you should always make the bracha after you light the candles. So Yantif should be no different, the same way that on Shabbos you make the bracha afterwards. So you should make the bracha afterwards on Shabbos as well. So what's the issue with that? Meaning, okay, could be. You know, who knows whether that argument's right or not. So the Dogma Revava written by the Node of Yehuda responds to the Magen Avraham. And the Dogma Revava writes, Udivir Magen Avraham, Sarich lomar shelo plug b'chol birkas hadlaka. You have to say for the Magen Avraham that it's a low plug any time you make a bracha, because no matter what the bracha is, because on Shabbos you make one bracha, you say lahadlik ner shel Shabbos. On Yantif you make a different bracha of lahadlik ner shel Yantif. So there's room to say, well, these are different brachos, so why should we say that they have the same halacha? But he says you have to say, if you're going to take the Magen Avraham's approach, that no matter what the text is which you're saying, anytime we're lighting candles, you're going to have to do the bracha afterwards. But he says, but then you have a problem. In King Kashin, gam be'adlakas ner Chanukah, yivarech achar shehidlik mishum l'plug. If there's really this open rule that any time we light candles, you make the bracha afterwards, so why not by Chanukah? Why not have to say, okay, anytime you light, you say the bracha afterwards, so light the Chanukah candles, and then say, lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. Yeah, so that's what you have to do for the Magen Avraham. He says, if there's really this low plug, so how come we don't see it by Chanukah? The havadei lesa, that definitely is not the case, like we see over there, etc. And he says, rather, the facts are that since it's a different nusach, since you say shel Chanukah, it's okay. And similarly, since over here you're saying shel Yantif, it's okay. And then he ends on the last line. He's got a nice line over here. V'chein nira li lahoros ke'ishas ha-ga'on drisha. And I think that this is the proper way to paskin, like the wife of the ga'on, the drisha. V'hi isha asher nisa li ba b'chachma. And she is a woman whose heart has lifted her up in chachma. So I was just, I thought this was a fascinating source. The Makor Baruch is written by the Torah Tmima and translated to my uncle the Netziv, which I think was subsequently banned for reasons I don't understand. But the Makor Baruch is a 2,000-page biography, which they were smart to shorten to less than that in the English thing. But if you look in the close to page 2,000, he's got a whole section on women learning Torah, and he talks about how his uncle the Netziv, his wife was a very, very, very learned woman, and so they like to talk in learning sometimes, and he once made a list for her of every single place in, starting with Tanakh until his time, you find very, very learned women. So he talks about how the Maharshal's mother would paskin Shilas to the city behind a curtain, and he goes through Bruria, and he goes through this Drisha's wife, but it's a very interesting piece, and just Mari Makum Hulach, that it's just interesting thing to look at. Okay, so what do we do at the end of the day? So Mishnah Berurah actually says there's two minhagim. And I don't know if anyone, I'd be interested to hear if anyone follows this, but Mishnah Berurah says some people do like the Magen Avraham. Some people still do follow this low plug, basically, and they say, the same way I light on Shabbos, I'm going to light on Yantif. And the majority of Achronim say to change it and to say the bracha first when you light on Yantif, and then to light like you'd expect for a normal mitzvah, and not like Shabbos. By raise of hands, does anyone do the exact same way on Shabbos and Yantif? You don't have to be embarrassed. Yeah.
I just didn't know.
Okay, good. So that's.
So I didn't know until like 10 years ago, now that it's here, and it somehow came up during the shiur. It wasn't the topic of the shiur. It was something about Pesach. And then it somehow came up, and I was like, I did not realize it. I know you over my mom, but like,
Yeah. So if you do, everyone says, like, if that's your minhag, if your mother does it this way, you can totally, should continue to do that. If not, the majority of Achronim say that you should be doing Yantif differently than Shabbos, because on Yantif, again, you can't strike a match, but when you light, it wouldn't be a problem anyways to pacifier to go and light Shabbos candles. Okay, what's our timing over here? Like, great. Okay, so let's talk for a moment about the Tanai, and then we will... We'll wrap up. So, the Bahag basically established for all women of Klal Yisrael, at least the Ashkenazi one, according to Rabbi Ovadia, that whenever you light candles, so you are going to accept Shabbos. Is there a way to avoid that? So the answer, we know we keep on mentioning this tonight, is yes. But that was not at all clear in the times of the Rishonim. In the times of the Rishonim, there's a whole debate. So if you look in the Kolbo, he quotes a machlokas about this in Source 9. He says, "V'omer haram k'shmaliki me'er Shabbos yicholim lahasnos." Yes, you can make a tanai. Why not? She'ein mekablin alein Shabbos ad shiyaskel achaz nispal tefilas akus. You can say, "I'm not accepting Shabbos until later." Rabbeinu peretz zal kasav davka livnei habayis. No, only the people who aren't lighting can continue doing malacha. Aval isha shemadlekes he asur lasos malacha la'achar sheilika dekevan shemivareches aleha ein lecha kabbalah gedolim yizu. She's making a bracha. How could she not be making a kabbalah? How could she not be saying a Shabbos? V'ein mo'il la shum tanai. And she can't make a tanai. She can't say, I don't want to accept Shabbos. When she lights, done. Again, interesting. Probably Isha here, because this is very early, is just because the woman would be lighting, but not that it's specifically for the woman. A side point. So why wouldn't you be able to make a bracha? Why wouldn't you be able to make a tanai? Why can't you just say, I'm not accepting Shabbos right now? So the Arch HaShulchan gives two different explanations for why that might be. He says in Source 10, some people say you cannot make a tanai under any circumstance. It just won't work. The nature of the text of the bracha is this is the candle shel Shabbos. So what do you mean I'm not accepting Shabbos and you say this is the Shabbos candle? If saying this is the Shabbos candle makes it Shabbos, so whatever you said before is like a meaningless statement right before you then say the bracha. It would be a bracha levatala if it weren't Shabbos automatically. So that makes sense if you think that the bracha is accepting Shabbos. What if you think that lighting accepts Shabbos, which is not really how we, you know, the minhag is certainly to follow the bracha, but what would that other group of Rishonim say? It says, since the whole idea for the other camp is that this would be the last malacha you do. This is the last thing for Laman Tieh Bazeh Kabbalah or Shabbos. So the whole point was that this would be the last malacha you do, and that would accept Shabbos upon yourself. This was a Takanas Chachamim. It's going to make Shabbos for you, so you can't say, you know what, I don't want in on this. You have to go and you're not. It's not subject to what you want to do. It's subject to what Chazal decided. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, this is all just for the Shitas HaBehag. So does it work, doesn't it work? If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, we don't need to read it, but in Source 11, he quotes a Yesh Omrim and a Yesh Omrim. He says some people say yes, some people say no. It's a little ironic he's talking about this, because according to Rabbi Ovadia, he thinks you're never accepting Shabbos, so the whole point of a Tanai is basically non-existent for the Shulchan Aruch, but he quotes both opinions over here. We saw in the Ramah, though, if you go back to Source 4, that the Ramah said right in the Haggah, right after the bolded, Yaminak Shosa Isha Madlekes Mekabel Shabbos Behadlaka. The minhag is that a woman, after she lights, she accepts Shabbos upon herself when she lights. Im lo shetitne tchila v'afilu tanai b'lev saki. Unless she makes a tanai, and even a tanai b'lev, even if you just think something, that suffices. If you think to yourself, I am not going to be accepting Shabbos when I light my candles in 2 minutes, So that's it. You don't even need to say anything. If you do say something, great. There's nothing wrong with saying anything. But all you have to do is think something. It is still going to be Shabbos for me. I'm still going to be doing malacha. And that's it. It's not a very hard t'nai to make. So that's the Ramah. That is the common practice. When are you allowed to make a t'nai? That was a big question, right? You're basically saying, I'm going to ignore the Bahag. And you're also taking a stance on this machlokas about whether a t'nai even works in the first place. So Mishnah Berurah says you shouldn't be doing a t'nai just every single Shabbos. You shouldn't just basically get rid of the Bahag. Because some Rishonim say it doesn't even work. This whole t'nai thing might not even accomplish the goal which you wanted to do. So if you look in Source 12, the Mishnah Berurah says, Shetis netchila, ve'ein lahasnos ki'im l'tzorech. You shouldn't make a t'nai unless there's some sort of need, unless there's something which is necessary for you to fulfill. Me'achar sheyesh chokin v'sovrin delo mehani t'nai. Since there are those who think that the t'nai doesn't even work, you should not rely on this unless there is a tzorech. So the big question is... Good. So what counts as a tzorech, right? Meaning, what if I haven't daven mincha yet? Can I make a t'nai? So I'll tell you, I gathered together whatever different things I found people said counted as a tzorech. Rav Rimon says, let's say you have hachanos for Shabbos, which you still haven't done. I don't know, you've got things which involve malacha, you're worried you're going to forget to light your candles, or you want to make sure you light candles when they say candle lighting time is, but you still have other malachos you need to do. So Rav Rimon says that alone is sufficient to go and say, I'm making a t'nai, and I have to go take care of Erev Shabbos preparation. You would be allowed to do it just for that purpose alone. You have other things to do to prepare for Shabbos, that's good enough of a reason. The Kaf HaChaim and the Kitzur Shla both say that a woman can be masneh so that she can daven mincha. That's your case. If you have not yet daven mincha, yeah, Shani?
I was going to say, you started with like, and not all the time. Like, is that in every week she has to?
That's a good question.
Like,
I didn't see any limitations on, if you shouldn't be doing this every week. If there were the same tzorech, I think you could do it every single week. I think that's...
It's not about the
fact. As long as there is... It's about there being a need and not you just saying, you know what, I don't like this Bahag Shita. Let's just throw it out and I'm never accepting Shabbos. Sometimes in halacha you see someone say, just make a t'nai that every single time you do it, it no longer works the way that it's supposed to work, and then your t'nai works. So don't do that. You cannot just say, I don't like this whole accepting Shabbos.
There's no, you should make an effort to not.
So maybe you should. The answer might be yes. I mean, if you want to be machmir so that you're not relying on one out of two opinions in Rishonim, yeah, you should try and daven mincha early. If that's not feasible, which I'm sure it's often not, especially when Shabbos is like 4:30 now starting this week. So... it's okay. So light candles, make a t'nai beforehand. You make the bracha beforehand also, before you light now, and then you can daven mincha. Other cases, the Tzitz Eliezer was asked that I want to daven by the kosel this Shabbos. I love davening at the kosel on Friday night. Can I daven? Can I make a t'nai? Because the only way I can do that is if I take a car. I said, yeah, davening at the... She was going to daven either way. I guess she could daven earlier or later. Davening at the kosel, that would be reason enough to make the t'nai. Rav Rimon says if you could daven with alone beforehand, but you want to daven with a tzibur specifically, which we'll daven later. So that's enough of a reason also. So I think that like in general, probably people are very, very, very worried about relying on the t'nai. The level of the threshold for when you could rely on the t'nai is not, it's not such a high bar to overcome. Anything which is like a halachic...
It's not like watch TV.
No, it's you're not allowed to do it to watch like the end of the football game or something like that, which is going to end in 3 minutes before Shabbos. But if you have anything, some sort of religious value, which is important, so don't worry about it. And you can make the t'nai. The t'nai is great. And we said already, you can do it belayed. You just need to think it. There's a discussion. Is it sufficient to say, I'm still going to do malacha later? Or do you need to specifically say, I'm not accepting Shabbos? I mean, can you just think, I'm going to be doing X, Y, or Z without spelling out that it's still not Shabbos? Or should you specifically say it's not Shabbos? It's not so hard to just try and think it's not Shabbos. I'm not making it Shabbos. And just like that, you would...
Then you need to also accept Shabbos later if you need to accept Shabbos.
Correct. So, right. That's correct. So because of Tosefta Shabbos, we have a mitzvah of Tosefta Shabbos, you should, going back to 5 weeks ago or whatever it was, you should still, after you daven mincha, or after you go to the kotel, or after you... do whatever you still need to do. Try at least 2 minutes before Shabbos to say, I am hereby accepting Shabbos upon myself. And you'll get a mitzvah d'oraisa in the process. See Shirim from 5 weeks ago. But yeah, thank you everyone for coming, and happy to take questions, and we'll start with Zaria next week. Yeah.
What happens if Min's up?